Pastor Rick found the time to write a sermon and sent it to us. So these are Rick's words. And he tells a story which will be familiar to you in three separate voices. So listen for the change. I'll try to pause as the voices change. I'm not the actor Rick is, so I'm not going to try to change my voice. But these are Rick's words for today. It is hot, terribly hot, the same hot that has been in the air for months now. You say to yourself, oh, it is such a sweltering hot day. When will this dry spell end? If only we could get a shower, a squall, anything to provide some relief. I'm not looking forward to the rest of the chores today. I wonder what they've got cooking for dinner tonight. I'm starving. I could eat one of these cows right now. You work a little longer, letting your mind drift from one thing to the next. As you're working, something makes you think of your brother. It's been a long while now since the two of you parted ways. You wonder if he's working just as hard as you, or if he's taking it easy somewhere with his feet up. You take a moment to look up from your work and you see a commotion in the distance. Squinting your eyes, you can't make out what it is or who it is. You ignore it and get back to work. You don't think anymore about what was going on in the distance and how relieved you are to see the sun finally getting low in the sky, and you realize it's time to go in and eat. Finally, you get to your room, wash up, and come to the table. You see they've left the same old stuff you've been eating for weeks, a little rice, a little bread, and a tough piece of goat meat. After your filling, yet not too satisfying meal, you finally get to stretch out and go to sleep. It doesn't take you long to drift off. Soon you find yourself dreaming of what was, when there was plenty of food, music, wine, and your family seemed happy together. You long to be there, to be home again. And then you realize that you've got your eyes open. The music you're hearing, it isn't in your dreams. The sounds are coming in through your window. You rise and stumble out of your small bunkhouse and realize that the sound is coming out of your father's house. As you get up to the house to peer blinkingly into the brightly candlelit room and see there at the table your brother who deserted your family, his mouth full of the juiciest, most mouth-watering piece of meat, you stand outside looking in while everyone is inside, your father including, laughing, giggling, feasting with your good-for-nothing brother. The anger, no, the rage is starting to boil up within you. How could your father do this to you? How could he sit at the table with this scoundrel? We don't give a whole lot of thought to the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. Maybe we should. We've all been there. We've lived that experience. Somebody getting benefits that they haven't worked for and shouldn't get. It's not fair. People who don't live a Christian life shouldn't inherit the kingdom. After I've done so much for the church, yes, we've been there. How do we reconcile with the sinner, with the other? This has been such a long walk, you say wearily, and I'm not even close to home. I'm having a real hard time believing I'm going home after all I did. What am I going to say to my father? What am I going to say to my brother? I suppose I'll say the only thing I possibly can. I'm sorry. I've been such a fool. How can you call me son? How can you call me brother? I'll make it up to you the best I can. I'll work doubly hard as the servants. You should treat me that way. Why did I do it? Leave the farm and my family? I didn't ever expect it to go as far as it did. I never thought I'd lose all of the money. How am I ever going to face them? You walk on, recalling in your mind all the experiences you somehow lived through. Fun times, crazy times, chaotic times, lost times, sad times. Times when you felt the most frightened. As soon as you felt desperately lost, you knew, as hard as it was to do, that it was time to come home. Really, it was the only choice you had left if you were going to live. It's mid-afternoon. You've got quite a ways to go. But as you pick up your head, you see a figure walking towards you in the far-off distance. But there have been lots of people to pass you along the way. Then you take steps closer and you hear a familiar voice ringing out, a voice that you weren't quite prepared to hear yet, the voice you were trying to gear up for. It is as sweet and welcoming as you could ever have hoped. The voice is shouting, could it be? Is it possible? Oh, my God, thank you. It is my son. My son has come home to me. Can this really be happening? It's your father. You recognize him now, of course. But what is he doing way out here? Why is he traveling all by himself? How did he know I was coming? Oh, my God, what am I going to say? Before you know it, he has you in a tight grip, tears running down his face, a smile from ear to ear, kissing you from cheek to cheek over and again, an amazing, indescribable, compassionate look in his eyes. He's glad to see me, you think, full of wonder. He's not angry. Then you say what you've been rehearsing you would say. Oh, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Your father only grins and repeats the phrase, he is home, he is home. My son has come back home. He has come back to our lives. All the way home, you catch up and share stories of your adventures, at least the ones you can tell your father. Once you arrive home, your father surprises you by telling you to clean up and put on a new robe and sandals and come to the main dining room. When you arrive, there is food galore. They even kill one of the large calves, a feast the likes of which you have never seen. There is music. There are decorations and candles making the room glitter. You sit and eat and share more of your stories, laughing with your still grinning father. This is when it dawns on you that you haven't seen your brother yet. Where is he? You feel the feeling in the pit of your stomach and anxiety about how your reunion will be with him. But soon you get lost again in the merrymaking, in your father's hospitality. That moment will come when it comes. We will either reconcile or we will not. What a feeling it must have been to sit at that table, to be looked at in such a compassionate way, and to be cared for despite what you expected to happen, despite the way you had expected to be treated. What would it be like for us to sit at that table? What would we talk about? Do we still have anything in common? Can we possibly still get along? Can we ever reconcile our differences? I just felt like walking today, you think to yourself. Everything around the farm is going okay. The servants, my eldest son, they all have everything under control. We could use some more rain, but if God wants it to rain, God will make it rain. We'll make do. God does have a funny way of making things happen. I had such a dream last night. I had a dream that my younger son was desperate to come home. I'll admit, I need him to come home. A piece of me has been missing ever since he left. In the dream, I said over and over again the same prayer I've repeated for so long. Oh, Lord God, bring my boy home safely, and I will let him know how much I love him, how much I miss him. Maybe that's why I'm walking today, a silly notion that my dream might come true. Oh my, look at where the sun is in the sky. I've spent most of the day walking. It's time I head back. As you prepare to turn back, you see a solitary figure ahead in the distance. It could be anybody, but there is something familiar about the way that silhouette is carrying itself. Oh, stop it, old man, it can't be. Might it be? I'll just go see. If it's not him, I'll turn around and go on home. It's not long before you realize that it's not a mirage. It is, in fact, your son. Certainly a lot thinner, but, oh, Lord God, you've brought him home to me. You say, half whispering, half speaking, I swear by your steadfast love I will keep my promise and bring him home in celebration. You run to him and squeeze him as only a parent can. You don't believe there are enough kisses within you to show how you feel to see him standing before you. He tries to apologize and ask for forgiveness, but through your joy and relief, you kiss him some more. Wait till we get home and I alert the cook, you think to yourself. Oh, what a celebration we will have. Wait until your brother sees that you've come home. What a day this is. Only in my dreams did I think it could be possible. Only could God inspire a moment such as this. Finally, you say aloud, my son, I love you. You were dead, and now you are alive. You were lost, but now you are found. The preparations are made. The table is set. Your son is clean and robed. The celebration has begun. No matter how lost a child seems to be, nothing can compare with the moment when a parent is reunited with a child. Indeed, like a loving father, God has claimed us, even gone down the road farther than we would expect to seek us out, to bring us home, to give us new life. Unfortunately, Jesus' parable doesn't extend into a dialogue between the two brothers. We don't know what they said to one another, or even if they spoke at all. If we have reconciliation with God through Christ, what about reconciliation with one another? I painted a picture of what it might have felt like for the brothers to be at the verge of a confrontation, the feelings of the boys in relationship to the celebration at the table. The one who is lost is the invited guest. The one who had always been there was literally on the outside looking in. The father who loved them both had assured them, in a way unique to his relationship to each boy, that the table was theirs to enjoy. Could they tolerate sitting together at the table? Or will they choose estrangement anger and resentment, and thereby lose this opportunity to forge something new and holy between them. When we claim our reconciliation in God, aren't we responsible to live our lives in response to God's grace by seeking reconciliation with one another? To sit at the table in God's presence, having been invited by Christ to come and sort out our differences, to work on living and thriving in one community, God's community. This is the road that God is calling us to travel, to go down this new road with God in our hearts and peace and reconciliation in our minds. The Apostle Paul said that by claiming God's grace through Christ, we have been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. God has come down the road a great distance to seek each of us out. Just as we feel our stomach flip when we see our divine parent coming in the distance to claim us, in spite of our waywardness, may we learn to claim one another in the same spirit of reconciliation. For if we cannot reconcile with one another, how can we ever be fully reconciled with God? Amen.